Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Commander's Forge. My name is Andy Bentley, and the Forge is an area for me to talk about Magic, Commander, and anything else. While I try and wrangle this whole mental health thing back to, I don't know, normal? Though I'm not entirely sure what that is. Now, today I do want to talk about Secret Lair. My whole thoughts on how they're doing it right now. And I get where they're coming from with the, you know, they're printing a limited stock and then there's no, like, lead time to them actually shipping it. That said, you never know what's going to be more popular and people are going to want to go for. So I was just looking at the Secret Lair site to see, like, what was going on with it. It has another 21 days and 17 hours left, and there's already seven that are sold out. I mean, sure, there's more there than those seven, but already having seven sold out makes me feel like the super popular ones are just going to sell out almost immediately, right? But of the ones that are left, they have, well, let's just get into it. The Just Add Milk Second Helpings, which means that they look like cereal boxes. And in that, we have Sakashima of a Thousand Faces, Yargle Glutton of Urborg, Quark the Thumbless, Edrix and Nev, and yep, that's it. So, interesting. You get a Quarkashima in here. And yeah, I mean, it's cool and all. I just don't really like the whole cereal box look. And, you know, it can be other people's favorite. It's just not for me. The next one we have is the Hard Boiled Thrillers, which I believe is meant to look like movie posters. Yeah. And that comes with a Reconnaissance, a Jace Wielder of Mysteries, a Black Market, a Dire Undercurrents, and Obeka Brute Chronologist. I don't know. To me, they're just kind of hard to read. But that's, you know, just me. The only reason I would even get this one is for the Reconnaissance. After that, we have the Prismatic Nightmares, which, yeah, it's an art style, that comes with an Arcane Denial, a Nightscape Familiar, a Reign of Filth, Simeon Spirit Guide, and Prince of Thralls. Not anything really there that I'm terribly interested in. So, yeah. And then the Showcase Murders at Karlov Manor. That has the showcase, like, supposed to look like the folder art. That comes with a Gonti, Lord of Luxury, Villis, Broker of Blood, Anuan, the Ruined Thief, and Grenzo, Dungeon Warden. I kind of like this art style. The only thing that would keep me from getting this is I already own all of these cards, and I don't necessarily want to spend the money to replace them. You know what I mean? And then the last one that they have in stock, besides like a bundle of them, is the Deceptive Divination, and deceptive is correct, because they are completely black and white. But this comes with a Wall of Omens, Circular Logic, Scheming Symmetry, A Price of Progress, and An Eternal Witness. I am not a fan of this art. It's far too hard to tell what color the spells are. Yeah, I don't even like looking at them. That's... ugh. So yeah, there's those, and then there's the... they call it the Dark Mysteries Bundle, which comes with the movie posters, the alt art stuff, and then the prismatic stuff. I just don't really care about any of that. So, yeah. It's not really anything I'm interested in. The ones that have already sold out... yeah, I don't really care about any of those either. Yeah. So, to each their own. If you want any of them, you have probably even more of a limit on the time than just the sale ending in 21 days, because who knows when they're going to sell out. That's, yeah, that's just kind of where Secret Lair is at this point. But it's fine. And I understand not everything is going to be for everyone. And that's fine. And just kind of moving away from that, last week I did talk about my take on the play boosters. And to that same kind of deal, I really enjoyed Murders at Karlov Manor Sealed. It was a lot of fun, there's a lot of interactions, there's a lot of back and forth. It's a very enjoyable card set. That said, I don't really see myself buying a ton of sealed product. I do see me buying a good number of singles that I want. So, besides the, like, 4 pre-release packs that I got, I'm not really planning on buying sealed product. Well, except for, I might buy the Boros Commander deck to upgrade, because, I don't know, I don't have a ton of Boros decks. Matter of fact, I have one Boros deck, and it's, it only comes out occasionally because it does powerful stuff. So, yeah, I'm probably going to get that when I have some money. But, yeah, speaking of money, I already announced that I was not going to be going to MagicCon Chicago just because I didn't have the funds. But just out of morbid curiosity, I went to see what, like, the tickets were going to cost. The event is completely sold out. There is not a single ticket left to buy. So I don't know if that means it's like a limited venue and they only had so many tickets to sell, or that many people are going and they just sold out. And I mean, they sold out at every level. You can't get a day pass, a weekend pass, a premium pass, any of the VIP passes. It is all gone. The hope that I have is that it's a large venue and they sold out, because the more times MagicCons actually do well, the better the odds are that we get more of them. And hopefully we get ones that are within ranges that people can drive to. So, like, technically Chicago's in that range of I could drive there. It's like a 7-hour drive. And I couldn't go to the one in Pennsylvania because I really didn't have any money back then. But the more times there are Magic Cons in areas closer to me, or the more times they're closer to other people, like, across the country, the more people get to enjoy them. So, I'm actually happy that it sold out, in that it hopefully means we will see more of them in the future. That said, I've been running a little long on this section, so I will cut it off here, and I will be right back with a deck that I'm working on building, but not entirely sure which direction I want to take it yet. I'll be right back. Hey, I just want to take a minute to tell you about my Patreon. I know times are hard for everybody, and I know it isn't easy to shuffle around bills and stuff. Believe me, I know that. But if you would like to help support the podcast and me, you can find the links to my Patreon in my link tree, which is always put into the description of either the video or the audio, wherever you're listening to it. It would really mean the world to me. Honestly, I'm just struggling to make ends meet most weeks. But that's it. That's all. If you want to help, the links will be where you can find them. And we're back. Now, during my weekend playing pre-release, I ran across a few decks playing Taysa, the Opulent Oligarch. And I saw what it could do in Sealed, and I decided I wanted to see what I could do with it in a Commander game when I actually have a chance to build around it. Now, part of the problem is I haven't decided what direction I want to take it yet. But let's start off with Taysa. She's 1 white-black for a 2/3 human advisor with Death Touch. At the beginning of your end step, you investigate for each opponent who lost life this turn, and whenever a clue you control is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, create a 1/1 white and black spirit creature token with flying. This ability triggers only once each turn. So the prevailing theory is you want to hit your opponents, make clues, sack clues to make spirits. But that's three things. So if we just want to lean into like the making people lose life, you know, you get a package with stuff like Sir Conrad, who's 3 black-black, 5/4 human knight. Whenever another creature dies or a creature card is put into a graveyard from anywhere other than the battlefield, or a creature card leaves your graveyard, he deals 1 damage to each opponent. Then you can pay 1 and a black and each opponent mills the top card of their library. You get stuff like Denethor, Ruling Steward, which is 1 white-black for a 2/4 human noble. At the beginning of your end step, if a creature died under your control this turn, you make a 1/1 white human soldier creature token. But you can pay 2 and sacrifice another creature to have each opponent lose 1 life, and you gain 1 life. And you get stuff like Nadir's Nightblade, which is 2 and a black for a 1/3 elf warrior. Whenever a token you control leaves the battlefield, each opponent loses 1 life, and you gain 1 life. So, each of these would feed into making additional clues at our end step, which then we could sacrifice throughout other turns to start making 1/1s, and then we get back to our turn, and we have, you know, 3 or 4 flyers. The other side we could lean into is the heavy investigation side. And that brings stuff like Wernog, Rider's Chaplain, which is 1 white-black for a 1/2 human. When he enters or leaves the battlefield, each opponent may investigate. For each opponent who doesn't, loses 1 life, and you investigate X times, where X is 1 plus the number of opponents who investigated this way. So either way, if they don't investigate and they lose a life, you end up investigating for them at the end of your turn anyway with Tase out. And if they do investigate, you still get the extra investigation to make clue tokens. So, yeah. You get stuff like Search the Premises, which is 3 and a white for a enchantment. And whenever a creature attacks you or a planeswalker you control, investigate. And Thorough Investigation, which is 2 and a white for an enchantment, that says whenever you attack, investigate. And then finally, the third way we could really take this is just leaning into spirits and tokens in general. So that brings in stuff like Riva Ivor, Bane of Bladehold. 2 white black for a 3/4 Phyrexian Knight with Battlecry. And at the beginning of combat on your turn, the next time target creature would deal combat damage to one or more players, this combat prevent that damage. If damage is prevented this way, create that many 1/1 colorless Phyrexian Knight artifact creature tokens with Toxic 1, and this creature can't block. Now, making 1/1s that can't block, you might think are, bad. But you pair that with something like Cathar's Crusade, which is 3 white-white for an enchantment. Whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, you put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. If you just dump 5 tokens out, now your board grows exponentially. In that same vein, Felidar Retreat for a 3 and a white is an enchantment with Landfall. And it either makes a 2/2 cat or puts a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. Those creatures gain vigilance until end of turn. So, again, you're either pumping your team that's already went wide, or you're using it to make a blocker, you know, if you're on the back foot. Included in this package would be Elish Norn Grand Cenobite. 5 white-white, 4/7 Phyrexian Praetor Vigilance. Other creatures you control get +2/+2. Other creatures your opponents control get -2/-2. So it's a good, essentially a board wipe and an anthem in one. And you actually get another version of that with the Ethereal Absolution. 4 white-black for an enchantment. Creatures you control get +1/+1. Creatures your opponents control get -1/-1. And for 2, a white and a black, exile target card from an opponent's graveyard. If it was a creature card, you create a 1/1 white black spirit creature token with flying. And then the last card I really want to highlight from this quadrant of where I could take the deck is Anduril, Flame of the West. 3 mana for a equipment. The equipped creature gets +3/+1, and whenever the equipped creature attacks, create 2 tapped 1/1 white spirit creature tokens with flying. If that creature is legendary, instead create 2 of those tokens that are tapped and attacking, and it equips for 2. So, yeah. Throw that on Tase. She becomes a 5/4 with Death Touch. And when she attacks, she makes 2 spirits. It leans into making spirits. And again, if you have things like Cathar's Crusade out with that, you're just pumping your team by 2 every time you attack. So that's kind of where I am at this point. I do have some cards coming in for Tase specifically, and right now I just have a bit of a pile on my desk. And I think I'm going to end up with like a weird amalgamation of like all 3 of these, where it's just kind of, you know, leaning into the investigation, leaning into ways to sacrifice them without actually having to pay for it. And then just swarming the board with spirits and some other tokens with, you know, things that want you to do that. I don't know. hopefully next week I'll have like the full list put together and I can explain it a little better. But for now, I think that's about where I'm going to call it. So I hope you have a wonderful whatever time you happen to be listening to this at, and I will see you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening. All of my links can be found in my link tree in the description below. I would like to thank Ian Foss and Cody Mulpey of the band The Crypt for allowing me to use music for my opening and ending, along with Nate and Erica Jacobs for making my original logo. And I would also like to thank Christina McNichol for creating my new logo. And I'll see you next time.